For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a Victory Monday on the WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz, we are at Chickies in South Philly. Ike, the Eagles go to 6-2 with a victory over the Jaguars. How are we feeling?
Victory!
Keep going!
Woo!
Eagles fly.
Turn it up!
On the road to victory, fight, Eagles, fight, score a touchdown, 1, 2, 3. Where's Jack?
Hit
him low,
hit him high,
watch our Eagles fly, fly, Eagles, fly, on the road to victory,
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
All right, here we are. Chickies and Pete's, Packer Ave, Brandon and Graham show is at 6, Players Lounge is at 7 with Jordan Mailata, this week's guest. So Eagles go to 6-2 yesterday with a victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars. And there are days here in Philadelphia after Eagles wins where they win and everybody's mad. There are days for that. And there are days where that's appropriate and there are days where that is not appropriate. It seems to be happening today, and I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think this is one of those days. That win yesterday over the Jacksonville Jaguars was a good win. I want you to put the final score out of your head and understand that here's a Jacksonville Jaguars team that was desperate, that plays a lot of good teams close, and it was a, sort of a trap game spot for the Eagles in between a big game against Cincinnati and then going to Dallas. They dominated on offense. They played well on defense. If Saquon Barkley, if that fumble call gets called the right way, they blow out the Jaguars. And here seems to be the biggest part, the biggest like source of consternation for everybody. It is Nick Sirianni. And everyone just sits around waiting to be mad at Nick Sirianni. That's what we do every week. That is our experience as Eagles fans, as everybody waits for the game, waits for them to win, and waits for one or two things they don't like in the entire game to explode about Nick Sirianni. And it is just wrong today. I don't think this is a game where you walk away from a win like that and being like, I'm mad at Nick, I'm mad at Nick, I'm mad at Nick. There were probably seven different times where he made a decision to go for something or made a decision that it could have gone either way, that I would have understood, hey, if you decided this or you decided that. But him going for it on fourth down on the opponent's 25-yard line where there's 3 yards to go, that is not a bad decision. That is a decision where you're going to get 8 or 9 possessions a game. You need to score touchdowns. And your offense, while good right now, is not particularly dynamic. So you and they're going these drives are going to open like use a ton of time on the clock. You need to score touchdowns. I can see two situations where he did something that I wouldn't have done. When they were up 16-0 and they decided to go for two, didn't seem to make any sense to me as far as the numbers go. And when they were in that final possession and they decided to kick a 57-yard field goal, I would have just gone for it or punted it at that point. Kicking the field goal doesn't really change anything. You get the first down, it ends the game. You punt it, you put them all the way back, and then they have to drive the entire field. But today is not a day to be mad at Nick Sirianni. And I think that the preconceived notion that everyone has, that I had at one point, that he doesn't know what he's doing, that he's a moron, that he's just waiting to screw things up. You're just going to need to push that out of your head or you're not going to enjoy the year. That was a good win yesterday. You're not going to win every game by 25 points. There's a difference between that game yesterday and the Browns game. There's just a difference. There was a reason to be annoyed after the Browns game. I do not see a reason to be annoyed after that game. So if you're going to spend the rest of your existence waiting for Nick Sirianni to screw up so you can be mad, you're going to be miserable. I think it was a good win. The Eagles should be, you know, congratulated for the win, and we move on to Dallas, and that's how I feel about it.
You good?
Yeah. I'm just like, get off the guy's case.
Well, here's the thing. Listen, you know, I've been a big Nick Sirianni supporter really since the time he's been here. Really, I mean, from the flower speech and that point on moving forward. But yesterday, here's why I disagree with you. Because you're looking at every individual moment and making reason and logic out of it. But it's a totality of the mindset and being aggressive versus not being aggressive and coaching with a gut feel as opposed to coaching on analytics. So a lot of this consternation comes from multiple situations where this may have either cost you a game or you certainly made the game harder than it should be. And what happens is people are afraid that this is what's going to be the downfall of the team, ultimately. Again, I like Nick Sirianni. So whether it's his decision to go for it on fourth down, to go for these two-point conversions, or it's a collective decision with a bunch of data and analytics that supports it and encourages it, there's also a thought in my mind that this could cost us at some point. This could cost us at some point. That was a beautiful game yesterday for 2.5 quarters. And the only things that really crept up in our mind were going for it on fourth down, going for two-point conversions when you didn't really need to, and you started chasing points. That's while it was still 22-0. The wheels hadn't even started to fall off yet. So even when it was 22-0, there was already questions as to decisions that he had made that we still were fortunate to be up 22-0 because we were playing that Jags team. It was a good win. You're right in that sense. Here's where I get frustrated as an Eagles fan. I can't enjoy what spectacular play that was happening on the field from players because of this stuff. You can't enjoy the Eagles game. You can't tell me you enjoyed that game yesterday. Now, you enjoyed the outcome because we won. But until N'Kobe Dean picked that pass off, you realize what this city was headed for today?
Oh, I'm aware. But I don't enjoy anything.
I'm saying it's hard for when you say it's – you're almost saying we should appreciate or celebrate Nick Sirianni for yesterday's win.
No.
I can't feel that.
What I'm saying is that I agree with his decision to be aggressive the large part of the time. I think when you get into trouble is when you start trying to decide, well, I didn't get it last time, so I can't do it this time. Like if they're not – we have the tush push, right? Mm-hmm. We have this play that has been essentially a guaranteed yard for the last 3 years. It works every single time. So he decides to go for 2 points when we have the ball on the 1 yard line. It doesn't work, and all of a sudden everybody's mad at Nick because it didn't work. And by the way, one of them, I think it did work, and the call was just wrong.
Sure.
I felt like Jalen Hurts got
it. Questionable.
Yeah. I think there's too many times where we won a Super Bowl talking about big balls, Doug, right? Mm-hmm. And then we went to another Super Bowl with Nick Sirianni being aggressive and going for it. And I know part of it is numbers, but the numbers are a real thing, you know? And I think a lot of times we say, well, you don't have any feel for the game and you shouldn't have gone for it there when it doesn't work.
Yeah.
That
matters.
Well, it does, but when it's 4th-and-3 and Jalen Hurts has A.J. Brown wide open, mm-hmm, and Jalen misses him, mm-hmm, well, that's on Jalen, not on Nick. And we can't get mad at Nick because Jalen didn't throw a good pass there.
I agree with that, but it didn't work as the result. So you're already in a game where there's been multiple opportunities to go for it on fourth down and it hasn't worked. He took a point off the board just because they got a penalty and went for it and didn't work the second time. You had a chance to be up 3 scores. You had a chance to go up 17-0. Instead, it's a 2-score game. What's the advantage of trying to make it 18-0?
I agree with that one. I agree with that one. I agree with you on that one. I agree with you on that one. The problem is what you're saying is right. It's not just that one that everybody's talking about. It's the totality of
them.
And the totality. And I would agree. Hey, Nick, I don't want to be looking at it because the numbers don't say to go for it when you're up 16-0. The numbers would say to take the 1 point and go up 3 scores. I agree with you. And at the end of the day, Nick can't
get the extra point, not the field.
Yes. And at the end of the day, Nick, that one is enough. But I think the problem is that everyone is grouping that one in with other ones that I think he was correct on. And I don't think there were – people walked away from that going like, well, Nick Sirianni cost us 9 points. Nick Sirianni did not cost us 9 points. Like the tush push
– left 9 points out there that he could have had.
Sure, but the other side of that is that could have been – you know, 20 points. Those 9 points could have been more points if we executed the things we needed to execute. Like, look, I'm not trying to be Howard in saying that, look, it was the right decision. The players just didn't do their job. But in the case of the tush push, that we got beat. We got beat on a play that always works for us.
We ran a damn bootleg. We rolled out to throw the ball on the tush push.
On fourth and inch.
That's what I'm saying. We're getting too cute with it. It's your now. They didn't stop the tush push.
Right.
We got afraid because they had stopped the tush push earlier and decided to run a variation of the play where we rolled to the outside and it didn't work. It didn't work. That's what I'm saying. And we did all this stuff when we had the lead, and it was unnecessary to do there. That was an opportunity to kick a field goal, and we didn't kick the field goal.
I guess my point is
he made that game harder than it needed to be yesterday. You got to admit that.
I think the two decisions I would have taken back are that going for two when they were up 16-0. I thought that was just flat out the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the game, I wouldn't have kicked a 57-yard field goal there because you're still only up one score. I would have just gone for it really, at the end of the day, they're going to have better field position if you kick the field goal as opposed to you just going for it.
Now, see, I love the legend, Jake Elliott. Love the legend.
Yes.
Has he made a 50-plus yard field goal this year?
I think he's 0 for 3 now, I believe.
Exactly.
Right.
And it was a slippery field yesterday for some reason.
Yeah, I thought that was the wrong decision. I agree with you. That was the wrong decision.
And that's what I'm saying. But why is this? So in that situation, if he's going to be aggressive, see, that's what I'm saying. Something isn't connecting here. And this is where there's more information available, I got to be honest with myself. And I've defended a lot of Nick Sirianni and his decisions. And I still ride with him. But you can't be aggressive all game in those situations when we're saying be conservative, just take the points that are there given to you. And then when you got an opportunity to possibly put the game in the bag, you decide to kick a 57-yard field goal. Like you just said, the worst-case scenario happened. We missed it, and you cut half the field off for the Jags to go down there and score. Why wouldn't you go for it on fourth down there?
Because I think he's worried about what people will say,
that's even worse.
No, I agree.
That's even worse.
I agree that he needs
that's
to tune everything out, and if he's going to be the go-for-it guy, then be the go-for-it guy.
But see, this is what I'm saying. This is why you have to be understanding of people who are frustrated with it or nervous about him or upset at him. Because the consistency isn't always there. You go back to the Super Bowl in 2022. He's aggressive all year. We get in the Super Bowl. We don't go for it on fourth and six from the 15-yard line. We kick a field goal.
I know, but the difference is when he does one thing wrong, it's fire him. But when Saquon decides to see what I'm saying? I think you can criticize the decisions he made without making it a condemnation of everything he did that day and everything he is as a coach. Like when Saquon hits the ground instead of running for the first down, when nobody goes back and goes, that was a bad Saquon game because he made that wrong decision right there.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
That was a terrible decision because we love Saquon right now and he's playing too well and people don't want to bring up negative things that happens that pertains to him. Are you kidding me? Saquon, go get the damn first down.
Go get the first down.
That's twice.
Yes.
That's twice this year. That's twice.
And he had the drop in the red zone, which was...
I'm okay with the drop. Drops happen.
Okay.
That was under his control where he decided to go down. Like, you got to go get the first down.
Yes. 215-592-9494.
Okay. I sad feeling like I had to get that out there.
Are people
Saquon.
Overreacting about Nick Sirianni and the criticism of his decisions yesterday? Jack, where are you on this?
Where you at, Fritz?
No, I think I know.
Of course they're not overreacting.
Of course they are.
Because we all have the same feeling. The Eagles are in a good spot. The Eagles are playing better football. That's evident. But
thanks to Nick.
That's highly debatable. It is.
Do you see that? That's the problem, though.
I don't know what you want me to do. I don't think he's a great coach. I'm sorry.
I'm not telling you that.
Very good coach.
I'm not telling you that you should think he's a great coach. But everything they do well, you attribute to somebody else.
I attribute it to the players. Yes.
Well,
yes.
Do you see that's a problem?
They played well yesterday, and he almost cost them a game. I mean, that's a game that would have been a monumental loss.
But
yesterday.
Them playing well is also on him.
They get credit for playing well. Sure.
He gets credit.
I never
for
said
them
fire Nick.
Well.
I'm not saying fire Nick. I mean, eventually we'll get there, but I'm saying as of right now, it's hard not to leave that game feeling like he's going to blow it in a big game. I don't care if they beat the Jags yesterday. Congratulations. The Jags suck, and they have the worst passing defense in the league. Congratulations. That game was made close for absolutely no reason. You can bring up the fumble, sure. Even after that, have a little feel for a football game. You want to go back to the Saints game? I mean, the Saints game was all over the place with some of his decisions. The Falcons game, you guys thought it was right to throw the ball. I wanted to run the ball.
Okay,
but that's a simple game management thing. There are game management issues. There's been game management issues with him this year, last year, and going to the Super Bowl. So it's one of these things that a lot of things are going right, and that's great. They pulled themselves out of the doldrum.
Just magically.
They started playing. Like,
just magically.
All right, what did he do?
Just magically.
What did he do?
No,
what did he do?
What did he do? He's the head coach of the football team.
Congratulations.
So when they are
It's so easy to say, oh, he's the head coach of the football team. And magically, they're better. Like, what does he do? What does he do? Like, all I care about is decisions yesterday. All that matters is the decisions yesterday.
You don't know all of his decisions. That's the problem. You are attributing the ones you don't like to him.
You don't have
and
a bad
Jalen, if on 4th-and-3, Jalen throws the ball where it's supposed to be and A.J. Brown scores a touchdown,
sure,
then all of a sudden this is not a conversation, right? If the tush-push gets called the way it should have, where Jalen crosses the goal line, then all of a sudden we're not having this conversation anymore.
Sure.
Do you see what I'm saying? You're putting all of this on him, but you're not putting any of their turnaround on him, and he's the head coach of the football team.
I think he gets some credit for the turnaround. Are you happy?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. 215-592.
I don't care.
215-592-9494.
There were some spectacular plays in that game.
There were.
I'm just saying.
We'll get to those.
Okay.
We got to fight about Nick first, and then we'll get to all that.
Okay.
Corey in Columbus, you're on WIP.
Hey, man, I ain't fighting about Nick. Hey, I look forward. Nick Sirianni is my coach. I know everybody got agendas out here. All want to listen. Did he have some bad decisions yesterday? 100%.
But no big deal. No big deal.
This is my call. Let me do my call. but Spike is right. Jalen Hurts, you got to get the ball out in front of A.J. Brown. That's the first down, right? Saquon Barkley. Hey, man, we all know Saquon, you a beast, dog. You the coldest brother on the field. But you know you're from a loser organization. You went to Penn State. We know they losers. We know they lose. And then you were the Giants. So somebody got T. Saquon. You got to pick up the first down there. It's the second time he done did that, right?
Yeah.
You know, yesterday we had a Jahan Dawson sighting.
How about
all
that?
Right. Yeah.
What a catch!
This is what
an
I will
underthrow
say.
By the quarterback.
And this is what I will say. Look. This game yesterday, in 2022, when we went to the Super Bowl, we had a lot of games like this. The Cardinals game. The Jaguars game in 2022 was carbon copy identical, but instead of the Kobe Dean interception, we had our Hassan Reddick strip set. So what I like is the Falcons game, the defense was just Swiss cheese, right? The defense showed resilience. That's what I've been talking about all year. Complimentary football. When your offense ain't got getting it done, defense, I need you to step up. And vice versa. And we got that yesterday. I ain't got no negativity. Y'all can have a cause. But listen, funeral is coming on Sunday. We looking forward, guys. Wear your black. We going to put these boys in a coffin come Sunday. Funeral time on the season. That's all I got, baby. Go Birds!
Corey's already on to the Dallas game.
Of course he is.
Already looking forward to the Dallas game. Now, there's no Dak.
Mm-hmm.
CeeDee Lamb's also hurt, I saw.
Yep.
So this is a perfect spot. The Cowboys are falling apart, bickering. Owner is saying he still believes in the team when he clearly doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
This is a perfect spot for us to go and lose in Dallas. lose in Dallas.
No way.
The line is 7s, though.
7.
Yes.
6.5, 7. So yeah. JR and Bluebell, you're on WIP.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, JR?
What's up, JR?
Hey, I got to tell you guys, I love the show. The camaraderie between you guys is remarkable. It comes through so loud and clear. I love the fact that you guys can have fun and bust each other's stones and still respectful at the end of the day. It's a great listen.
Where's
really
the butt? Where's the butt?
Yeah, best call of the day.
No butts, Jack. No butts. Hey, wanted to talk about elevate out of yesterday's game and just talk about the maturity of the defense. I mean, the linebacker play that we're getting from Vaughn and Dean is some of the best linebacker play I've seen in forever. And that coupled with the emergence of a young cornerback. I mean, the guy they picked up from the Bills. I mean, they got a lot of youth and a lot of hungry guys in that defense. Like, it's coming together for me. Like, I just see them growing from there. I think my question is, like, do you think the organization, do you think people like Howie are acknowledging that the power and the effectiveness of having good linebacker play and good young players, giving them that opportunity moving forward? Because I think these guys are, I mean, Dean's going into his fourth year, so he's got a contract coming up. I think Baldwin was a one-year signing. So just wondering what you guys think, if they're going to actually make a commitment to some of these good young players that they have.
That's a good question. That is a good question. Yeah, N'Kobe, he may be looking at a deal this offseason because he'll be going into his final year next year. And if he continues to play as well as he's playing, the Eagles usually lock up their young players. And so I could see him. Zach Bond may be a little different. I don't know. I mean, because would they pay – Zach Bond's on a one-year deal, right?
He is, I believe.
Yeah, so would they look at paying two linebackers this offseason? The one good thing the Eagles have going for them on that defensive side of the ball is they aren't paying pretty much anybody over there with the exception of Slay and CJGJ.
Well, and Bryce Huff.
Oh, damn, I forgot about Bryce
Yeah,
Huff.
So did they.
And I forgot about Bryce Huff. Yeah. Yes, I forgot about Bryce Huff.
You know, he didn't play because his hand hurt in warm-ups yesterday.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it. but, yeah. But Slay is probably on the last year of his deal, so you're going to free up that cap space. In other words, I think they could wind up keeping Bond here. I definitely know that N'Kobe Dean's probably not going anywhere. He's probably because he's their draft pick. So he's not going anywhere. And if they can get both guys here, yeah, why wouldn't you? I mean, depends on how they feel about Jeremiah Jr. moving forward. You know, he'll be in his second year next year. So a lot of this stuff is always cost-cutting. Okay, do you save money here to pay money there? But like I said, they got most of their young players locked up.
And the other thing about the linebackers is when you look at this, first of all, Vic Fangio deserves, I believe, the players deserve credit, but clearly Vic Fangio deserves a ton of credit.
100%.
The fact that the defense is able to play well with the limited amount of pressure they've been able to get from their edge guys this year, a lot of that is attributed to Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean being able to put pressure not only on the quarterback, but being able to fill gaps and stop the run the way that they have.
Yeah.
You know, those guys have covered up, I think, for really, I would say, average to below average play from the edge. But it's been because of Dean and Bond have been so good at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for the call, JR.
Appreciate it.
Yep. All right. There we go. Well, coming up.
You got Josh Sweat coming on a little bit.
Yeah. Did he have two sacks yesterday?
Think so.
I thought,
uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
And by the way, credit to the secondary, because it's not like the Josh Sweat sacks were good, but it's not like he was in the backfield before anybody knew it.
Yeah, it
was good coverage.
Yeah.
So coming up next, Dan Orlovsky, guys, has an opinion about Nick Sirianni.
Of course he does.
It's not a positive one,
and
we will play it for you. That is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly, pregame, in-game, or postgame. Chickies is your destination for the Eagles all season long, online at chickiesandpeets.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz, we're Chickies on Packer Ave in South Philly. Tonight and every Monday night, 6 o'clock, is the Brandon Graham Show with me, BG, Howard Eskin. Then right afterwards, the Players Lounge with Ike, Hugh Douglas, ESP. And today's guest will be Jordan Mailata.
Big man.
Will join the show at 7 o'clock. You can either listen on the radio or you can come here to Chickies and Pete's. 215-592-9494. Rios in North Philly. You're on WIP.
What's going on, Hard Chargers?
What up, Rios?
What's up, gentlemen? So, I'm just getting back in the crib from doing a little supermarket shopping with the kids.
What'd we get?
you know, just, well, grocery shopping, just some food, you know what I mean? Just trying to do more, getting them used to eating differently, you know what I mean? Because, you know, in this world, they could just be eating all this crap, and I can't have that stuff. So
yeah. Ultra-processed foods are bad. Yep.
Yeah, pretty much all this crap. But anyway, so I'm listening, man, and I'm just going to give you my spill on what I felt and everything. So of course, we already know we ain't gonna cut through the BS. And the main thing is pretty much, yes, I'm happy with the win, but the situation on why, how to feel after this freaking game. So obviously, y'all speaking on Nick Sirianni, and that's what it is. Now, this is what I got to say about him. We won the game. The game was going in beautiful. I'm watching. I'm like, yo, this is what I needed. I'm like, look, they had a lot of under center plays, different plays, had a fullback, had different type of styles with Jalen Hurts under center. And I'm like, man, this is – now people are talking. This is going beautiful. You know what I mean? Nick, you need to chill, man. And when I say that is he's I feel like since even last year – he's working off of emotions. And with that being said, there's a feel for a game. But some emotions could come off of things that happened last year, the stuff that's been happening from since the Cleveland game, and as well as at the stadium, just like how he stepped to a fan before, is working off the fans on how they feeling right there and then not really thinking straight and making certain decisions off of emotion when you need to control it and get the actual feel. You got to get good, because it's like right now is so many things. It's like real estate. So many things is getting to his head. Control yourself. And I think I think you brought up a point about the went for the field goal, but you're going to be – you're talking about being aggressive. Why you didn't go for it right there, right? Mm-hmm. So
yep.
My thought on that remind me of the Super Bowl. Now tell me if I'm tripping, but – you go in, and like I always say, when I seen him crying, that tears, that pushed me. I was ready for the walk. But you go aggressive. You do what you do. Then all of a sudden, when the team either comes back, and I believe Kansas City made it close or just was ahead, you start playing now in a different way where you're playing to not lose the game. So my thing with this is I'm not going to trip and be like, this guy is a – And call him all these freaking names. He needs to chill. Know when to be aggressive, but being smart at it. We cannot, if you're going to be this way, great. But we're not going into playing to not lose the game. We're not going into playing off of certain ways of your emotions because you're not controlling it. He's emotional doing some of them decisions that he's making instead of all off of being logic. And we know about everything, just like with the Phillies. You got numbers. You're trying to rationalize this and everything analytics. Situational football. Put the numbers together. Let's go and win the game because we were kicking their ass. And the players played their ass off yesterday. Give the defense something that you're congratulating them to. But I bet at some point it's almost like pissing the defense off. Now, we did our job, but now we got to play harder to save somebody's ass. Man, like, look, man, I'm with this team. I'm with them whatever the situation happens. Do I have a feeling that I'd rather have somebody else as a freaking coach? Yes, because I need somebody stern. I need somebody straight to the point. I need somebody logical, and I need somebody who don't give a damn what anybody else thinks. But he could fix it, and it starts with himself. But everything I've seen on that field and coaches are talking and whatever we're doing with our offense and defense, great. Getting these young guys to compete, we're doing what we got to do. But he got to fix himself, mm-hmm. gentlemen. He got a lot of real estate in that head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yep. I want to talk about MB, but I think I took too much
later,
time, didn't I?
Later, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it later. All right.
Y'all be cool. Peace.
All right, yeah. Violence gets results.
Yeah. How about that? I didn't even think about that.
So what Rios said, and I have large, I have tons of respect for Rios. Mm-hmm.
Correct, yeah.
But what he said is exactly what makes me insane about the way that people talk about Nick Sirianni's decisions. The first part was, chill out. You shouldn't go for it so much in the beginning of the game. And then the second part was, at the end of the game, want you to be aggressive if that's what you're going to do. So, like, he's wrong both times. Yeah. And I just think he's we're looking too much at the success of what happened. Though I understand when you say that counts. It does.
Yeah.
It does. But you can't let the fact that the tush push got stopped affect your next decision on fourth and one.
Sure you can.
I don't think you can.
I think you should.
Unless they saw something where, like, oh, no, Jacksonville figured something out. Or because I keep going back to
– here's the thing, right? He actually did. Because when it came time to run it again, that's when he decided to do the rollout stuff.
Right, and he said that was a mistake.
Yes.
He got spooked by what happened before.
Yes.
The criticism I would make of him is that he is not consistently aggressive enough. Like, I want him to go for things. I don't want him to be dumb about it.
It's okay to do it sometimes, but just because it's okay sometimes doesn't make it right all the time. And I don't want you to think that I believe he should just be one way all the time. You have to understand the situation, read the situation, have a feel for the game and how the game is being played. You're playing against an inferior opponent. Why take unnecessary risk? You don't need to try to blow the Jags out by trying to go for 2 points and all this other stuff. If you just do the simple things, you're going to beat the Jags. You're going to beat the Jags. You just are.
But I think a tush push from the 1 yard line is a simple thing. I do. And what I would say about the points is that when you don't, the way that the Eagles are playing offense, there's just not going to be a lot of possessions in the game. And every time that you trade 3 for 7, it makes a fourth quarter comeback.
That defense wasn't doing any. I mean, that offense of the Jags basically was non-existent for 2.5 quarters. Literally. I mean, I think they had like 30 yards at the half of offense.
Mm-hmm.
The defense had been dominating that offense. But they got life by what their defense did. And that's how they got back in the game. Of course, aided by a terrible call by the referees. Saquon should have been down. That's clear. But that's another thing about that momentum stuff. You got to have a feel that this thing is changing in a game. And he still made questionable decisions after the Saquon, the touchdown got went back. I mean, he had an opportunity to go up 25-16, and he went for it. He went for it.
That one I disagree with. I disagree with that one. I would have just kicked the one there.
That's what I'm saying.
But we're doing – I'm not saying that Nick Sirianni's Andy Reid. But I just want to be clear that I'm not saying he's Andy Reid. But we're doing a little – and you're not doing it. I'm saying the tone in the city is doing a little throwing the baby out with the bathwater thing.
There it is.
Like what Andy Reid wasn't – Andy Reid had time management issues.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Didn't run the ball early enough in the game. Absolutely. But we let that paint our entire view of who Andy Reid was. And instead of putting it in proper context like we do with Jalen a lot of times, like we do with Saquon, and just say –
do we really –
with Saquon, we do.
With Jalen, though, do we? Because everybody likes Saquon. That's easy to do. When there's a polarizing figure there, like, I could make the argument you don't necessarily look at everything a certain way. And Jack certainly doesn't look at everything with Jalen a certain way. You look at it through a prism of what your belief about the guy is already.
What I'm saying is, well, maybe.
So me with Nick, I'm giving you an unbiased opinion on Nick.
Or if anything, you're more positive on Nick than anything.
Of course I am. Right, yes, right, right. Of course I am. And I'm defending him. But there's some things I can't defend. And I'm not going to make excuses for him. There's some things I can't defend. And there are some decisions, and I'm not saying every decision was a bad decision. The 4th-and-3 to throw to AJ, that's more on Jalen. I had no problem with that play and that call there. Had no problem with that. That was about execution. I'm not saying every time he does it, it's not the right thing. I'm just saying not having a true feel for it, it makes the game difficult. New Orleans, it makes the game difficult. You know what I'm saying? Like, we get down there before the half. You got a chance to put points on the board. You decide not to put points on the board. You decide to go for it. Like, and that's why I think with fans, where I'm sort of understanding is that it's a culmination of things that people can't necessarily move past.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Our football team is chasing a championship ring. Make her feel like a world champion every day with a ring from Mark's, marks-jewelers.com. Is Nick Sirianni's in-game management a big issue for the Eagles, or is it being blown out of proportion? So big deal or blown out of proportion? What do you think the Twitter answer is?
It's definitely a big deal.
Okay, what's the number, do you think?
I'm going to go 73%.
Dude, I want you to look at it.
Wow.
73%. You're on a roll right now with the Twitter question.
Not with FanDuel.
Exactly
though.
Right. Yeah. if only we could translate that over. Yeah.
Well, you got to get them to do odds for Twitter questions.
That's right.
So,
yeah, how about that?
Dan Orlovsky does not think much of Nick Sirianni, or at least currently. Here's what he had to say about the Eagles and Nick.
I think this is the only legit playoff contender where the coach is a question mark. The coach is a question mark. No coach takes more points off the board than Nick Sirianni. It's unacceptable that they continue, and beyond lucky that Trevor Lawrence throws that interception. Because if Trevor Lawrence leads their team down and they win that football game, I don't think Nick Sirianni's walking in Tuesday morning as the head coach of the football team.
Relax, Dan.
Yeah. I agree. He's not getting fired.
Yeah, he's not getting fired. The team would be 5-3.
And also, I think we have to take points off the board thing. I think we have to use that in the proper context sometimes. Mm-hmm. If you're, like, let's say it's 4th-and-7 on the 30-yard line, you kick a field goal, you get the 3 points, but there was a penalty that gives you a first down. You would take that first down and take the points off the board.
Yes.
Like, there are situations, and I know a lot of people
but
don't.
That's giving you a new set of downs.
Yes. Well, and I know a lot of people wouldn't, but when you kick the extra point, if there's a penalty on that puts you on the 1 yard line, at least with this team, with the tush push as it worked, I would take the one off and go for two. I would. I would make pretend that the one point didn't go through the uprights and just go for the 2 points.
Okay, I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
It's long overdue.
Okay.
Get a damn ball to Saquon and stop it with the tush push stuff.
Wow, are you officially out
of
the tush push?
Well, yeah, I've never really been in on it. I just kind of accept
it.
It's part of the team. You got Saquon there. Just give the ball to Saquon, man.
At this point. Saquon's going to end up with 37 touches a game.
Yeah. I don't even know. Dude, just get a ball to Saquon, man. Seriously.
And Jalen's, the one yesterday was got his head ripped off again.
Yeah. Just get a ball to Saquon, man. Goodness gracious.
They get so happy to run it.
Yeah.
They get so happy to
they
run it.
They do love
also,
running it.
Also, God, listen.
By the way,
can I do my sigh? Can I give a sigh?
By the way, Jalen Hurts fantasy owners are all across the Delaware Valley saying, no, Ike.
Yeah.
No.
And I'm one of them.
Push. Yeah.
I'm one of them.
Right.
Can they also throw down there? You are allowed to throw. I know you're
relax.
Well, is he a quote unquote franchise quarterback or not? You are able to throw the football in that area. Yes.
What do we think?
Johnny Wilson got robbed of a touchdown yesterday too.
Yeah, that was offensive pass interference.
That looked okay.
Poor Johnny Wilson.
Dude, but Johnny Wilson.
Then we saw Johnny Wilson and Anaya Smith yesterday get plays called for.
Dude, Johnny Wilson plays 4 snaps and is penalized on at least one of them. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Hold He's on. The new Derek Barnett.
Shout out to my dog, Sidney Brown, getting the party started yesterday.
That's right. And Ben Van Summeren.
Yes.
The first pass of the game went to Ben Van Summeren.
And they were identifying him as fullback Ben Van Summeren. Yes. He's no longer a linebacker who's playing fullback.
He really is Klecko.
He has really changed into being a fullback.
Change his number. Give him Richie's number.
Yeah.
Who's wearing 48?
I don't know. It's wearing 48. Who's Josh Perry?
Josh Perry was cool, man. I like Josh Perry.
215-592-9494. Josiah in Warrington. You're on WIP. What's up, Josiah?
What's going on, man? I need a little Ike juice, man. We've been arguing and bickering, man. I need a little Ike juice, man.
I feel you.
Do we think Buzz is equipped for that?
Come on, Buzz.
Buzz.
Where are we at, Buzz?
We're not letting the call go until Buzz plays the Ike juice.
They must have been drinking that Ike juice.
You know he was sweating in the producer booth.
Because I was going to crush him if it took 1 second longer.
Sweating.
Yeah.
Damn, where's the Ike juice?
Good job, Buzz. Next time, quicker.
What's up, Josiah?
Oh, man. So I want to give my thoughts on the game and on Nick, man. So, Spike, I disagree with you. And here's why, right? When we're looking, okay, you don't often have a team this talented, right? Ike, I want to ask you a question. Your team in 2004 was one of the best teams in Eagles history, right?
Best team in
Eagles
history.
How long does it take us to really replicate that and get a team to match that caliber of talent?
2022?
Exactly. Almost 20 something years it took that. Right? And now we have a window with the talent that we have to be able to do something special. Right? And we're looking from the prism of getting into the playoffs. And when the NFL, right, it's tight margins. You don't often see big blowouts. It's a lot of tight margins. These are professional players. So your decision-making as a head coach is critical. And it's a lot of times, especially we had control of that game. We had momentum, right? Just kick the field goal, right? Just kick the extra point. Going for the touch push, stopping the touch push gave them momentum. It gave them confidence. And then they slowly caught into the game. And, right, that's how I look at it. Overall, as a team, we played a great game. Saquon played a great game. But my only concern is the coaching and the decision-making and the game management for when we start playing the better teams, the Lions, you know, the better teams in the NFC East. And excuse me, not the NFC East, but the NFC.
So let me do this, Josiah. I'll take exactly what you said and use it as an argument for why he should be aggressive in those situations.
Okay. Yes, sir.
If the truth is that every game is very close in the NFL, if the amount of two-score, you know, victories are getting smaller and smaller, and as we were told twice last week, once by Mike Lombardi, once by Ron Jaworski, the amount of possessions go down, then your need for more points out of those possessions goes up. So instead of taking 3 points, you have to do everything you can to get 7 points. And if you have a position, and by the way, they're not going for two. There's a big difference, and I know it doesn't seem like it, but at least with this team over the last few years, there's a big difference in going for two from the two and going for two from the one.
Yeah. Yes,
and getting 2 points there, if you're talking about close games, then getting every point you can when you can, especially the way they're playing offense now, becomes tantamount. So I understand why he is aggressive in those situations and why getting 7 rather than 3 is important and why getting 2 rather than 1 is important.
I agree with you. I want to give you a counterpoint, if I will.
Sure.
Okay. And I agree with you. What you're saying, what you just said, you're 100% correct, right? But here's the caveat to what you just said. That really depends on the opponent, right? If you're facing the Lions, the Chiefs, prime example, because a couple callers brought up the Super Bowl, right? And he didn't go for it in the Super Bowl, right? He wasn't aggressive in the Super Bowl. When you're playing a higher caliber opponent, right, when he plays the Saints, who's 2-7, the lost 7 games in a row, when he's playing the Jaguars and you had complete control of the game, right, then you could be conservative. Now, if it's a game where it's 0-0 and you just scored your first touchdown, right, or, you know, you're playing against a great opponent, then, yes, I wouldn't have no problem with going for it. But when, you know, Saquon just had a big touchdown, Jalen was playing well, the offense was moving, the defense. And listen, this is the biggest thing I want to say. The defense has been playing their butts off. See, when your defense is playing as great as they was, their offense wasn't moving the ball at all. Then you don't have to just take the – you can just go autopilot. Be conservative. You feel me? You be conservative. Right? Just let the drive continue to go and get off the exit and go home with the win. Now, when you're in the playoff game and when you're playing, right, the Lions and these great teams, then – what you said holds true. You have to be aggressive.
Do you know what I think would happen, though, Josiah? If were in a game like that, people would say, this is a good team. You have to take the points where you can get them. And I can feel the discussion about it. When he goes for it on 4th and 2 against the Lions in Detroit and doesn't get it, and people are like, against a team like Detroit, you have to take the points where you can get them. I know I can feel it.
Sure.
Again, I'll go back to the two that I disagree with. I don't disagree with going for two when it was 16-0. I don't agree with kicking the field goal at the end of the game. I thought they were both the wrong decision. But I do think that the criticism of his decisions yesterday is a lot louder than it deserves to be, in my opinion, on that yesterday. All right, Josiah, appreciate the call, man.
Well, how about the decision to go for two after Jalen scored a touchdown?
I was fine with it.
First of all, we just got our lineman got his knees chopped out from under him. He's injured. I don't even know. Did he stay in the next play?
He did. He was in.
He was in.
We're talking about Fred.
Fred certainly wasn't effective.
No.
And Jalen, who seemingly landed head first on that play, I don't know. Did he have all of his whereabouts with him?
Was that the one where he did get the ball over the line and they didn't? I'm trying to remember. It was that one.
Yeah.
Yes,
it looked like he crossed the goal line with that, though. So
But they didn't give it to him.
And I'll say this, too, about referees. Every time people complain about the referees, mm-hmm. I'm like, it's not why you lost. Shut up about refs. That call and the Saquon call were the Saquon call specifically, and their explanation of it was insane.
Yeah. Well, I also thought, did you guys think on third and nine the Jags converted and they gave him like a really favorable spot on it, even after the Eagles challenged?
Yes, and I don't think it. I thought the spot was wrong too.
I thought that should have been fourth down and inches.
The Saquon thing was as clear as day. The defender hit his leg. He fell down, and the ball popped out when he hit the ground. Yeah. And somebody on Twitter, a rare good Twitter point, made a point to me yesterday. Do we really think if Saquon got up and ran for a touchdown, they wouldn't have called it back? They would have called it back in a second after that, which tells you that it was the wrong call.
Yep.
Well, speaking of Nick, so Nick always speaks on Mondays, and we will air the entire thing at 3:15. After a big Nick day, I'm always excited to hear what Nick has to say, and I know he'll disappoint me. That is the only time that I'm sure that Nick will disappoint me is in the day after presser.
You think? Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, his post game presser, he seemed to be sure of himself.
Yes, he did seem very sure of himself. He did.
He even dropped the having balls. I didn't know we were allowed to say that.
He was cocky.
Yeah.
And he also dropped some weird noises when talking about Saquon.
Yeah, I don't know what that was all about.
Yeah, well, don't worry. That's been added to the drop board.
By the way, we said if they won three in a row, Jack, that we would shave our heads.
Did we?
Yeah.
That was off air.
No, it was on air. So if they beat Dallas.
Well, Kyle Quinn took the sacrifice for us.
If they beat Dallas, we're going to have to do this on Monday.
Wow. Come on, Cowboys.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man.
All right, so coming up.
Your hair can grow back.
More of your calls.
Are you thick head, man.
Are you worried about Sirianni's, decision-making? 215-592-9494. And then coming up at 3:15, we have the Nick Sirianni press conference, which I'm sure he'll be asked all of these questions, and you'll get to hear the answers again. That is all coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.